I'll tell you this. I want to point this out to you. Right now, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm leaning back and I'm leaning forward in my chair.
You made mention on the stream.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about the turtle stream. Yeah, I know the creaky chair is gone. 2024 is the first. I want to see what our fans do about it, because I've already had people express displeasure with this.
Really?
Yeah, I pointed it out, and Asylum was like, how could you possibly get rid of the creaking chair? And I'm like, it's not good. Like, nobody wants to listen to that. I'm so confused. But yeah, no more creaky chair. I got a nice new gaming chair, and it is quite pleasant. Quite pleasant.
That's nice.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen in the year 2024 to listen to another horrible gaming podcast, but I am not alone. Usually I am never alone. With me is
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
We're back, Neil. We're back.
We are back. And I definitely have to say, it does feel like forever.
It does. And every
single time we do this, because it's like the only time that we take a pre-planned break for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Normally, the worst case scenario is like one of us has to just kind of pony up and muscle through, or Zach is like replacing me because I'm off doing a thing or something like that. And extremely rarely it's, I can't do it. No podcast this week.
Very rare. I think this happened one hand number of times, tops. You know, I think like 3 or 4 times we've been like, it's just not happening. I think one of them was COVID. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm not doing any of this shit. Okay. Yes, we're back with all of the same lackluster stumbling as you have come to expect from us over the course
of
the last...
But now in 24.
The course of the last, what, 3 years now? 4 years? 5 years? 5 years? Fifth annual! We just did the Horrible Game Awards. That was exciting. But yeah, we're back. We're gonna have a fun show today. We've got some... Neil has a lot of pent-up news that he needs to relieve himself
with. It's
more
than I mentioned to you earlier, by the way.
We also have a lot of fan traction, which I always promise to read. So we're just going to do fan traction. We're going to do news. And that's it. We're just going to talk about games.
It's the tidying up. It's the tidying up show.
It's the tidying up. It's the first show of 2024 is always like this. I do want to say, I would love to, if we have time, just talk about any games that we got over the holiday break instead of playing that into. Because I have a couple of doozies that I really want to push into the zeitgeist. But if we get time. If not, we'll do that on the next show. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Fan Interaction. But before that, we got to thank the people who make this possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a fancy graphic. That was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Siders. We thank him for that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Interaction. And, as promised, we're going to go through all your Fan Interaction that we have missed over many
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's
almost
2 weeks, but it'll be three. It's 3 weeks of episodes.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks, because it was 20. I believe this is going to be 22. 222. Episode 222. So I believe that 20, the Horrible Game Awards, if there is any, and then 221, we need to do all of them from. So we are on 220. Which, remember what we talked about? Oh, this was the IGN predictions, which we have to do that. Yeah. Really. This is phenomenal. This is one of my favorite ones. William Hoolan starts us off. Hi! Exclamation point. Hell to the yeah, yeah. Alrighty, IGN score. Here's my score predictions. FF7, 9 out of 10. They can't go lower than what they gave the first part. Light No Fire won't come out in 2024. Hot take.
I could see it.
Hot take. We'll see. I really think it will, but I could be wrong. Princess Peach, 8.5 out of 10. Well, they don't do points anymore, man. IGN does straight numbers only at this point. But, yeah, so I don't know if you want to surround that up to 9 or what. Nightingale, 7 out of 10. Call of Duty, 8.5 out of 10. And then Skull and Bones, 6 out of 10. Merry Christmas, and thanks for the great entertainment this year. Hashtag yawn. I'm going to take that as you're tired and not just bored with a show. which would be a viable thing as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
I think that those are pretty good predictions. I don't know. I think Life No Fire is coming out this year. I really do.
Definitely see a world where it comes out next year.
Oh, I do too. I could see it not coming out till next year, but just the way that they have been doing stuff with No Man's Sky, not the launch, but the all the DLC after that. I just feel like this thing, we're going to be seeing this soon, but that could, I tell you what, man, I find it funny though. Cause like, you know, the biggest problem of No Man's Sky was Sean Murray talked too much for too long leading up to its release, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So then when he first announced this, I was like, oh, please don't talk too much. And now we're like 3 weeks in and I've heard nothing about this game at all. And I'm just sitting here like, say something. Please say anything. Give me a release date. Feed me, Seymour. Feed me. I need more gameplay clips so I could go to each of the YouTube channels and watch them break down every little thing that's in it. Please, please, please. You know?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference when it comes to that sort of stuff, yeah, at this point. Because, yeah, I remember him making the rounds on even, like, late-night shows. Oh, yeah. And just, like, I think I remember a segment where he was on, there was Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, I think he did, too.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
It was like, look at our fucking game! You can do literally everything in the world, and I guarantee it. And, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, wow, this is great. And then, you know, No Man's Sky happened in its first iteration.
Yeah, and it was bare bones at best. And I think that, like, don't get me wrong, I think objectively he is doing the right thing by not talking about it constantly, you know what I mean? By not setting it up. And again, agree to disagree, I think it's coming out next year. And if it's not coming out next year, it's coming out soon. Whereas No Man's Sky, he started talking about it, what, 3 years before it released?
That's true, yeah.
I think he's making the right decision here. It's just the lizard brain of my mind wants to be fed. It wants to be fed juicy nuggets of hype, even though I know that hype is bad. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I preach against hype, God, all I want is more hype for this game. So, to continue. Jason then continues, words like shit and fuck are vulgar. Vulgar or originally meant of the common people. The word used by the common people were grinding to the posh elite ears. Keeping the common people's words taboo is classist and shameful. So confused as to where this is coming from, this weird lesson on the English language, but
I don't know. Fight the power, man.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we swear a lot, so I don't know. We're definitely not swearing, so I don't know. I don't know where that's coming from. Jason then continues, as an arachnophobe, Grounded's transitions from spider to blob are more horrifying than a spider. Yes, thank you. Also, I want to be able to ride wolf spiders as mounts in Grounded. That'd be fucking sweet. I'm with you on that. Yeah, those blobs, and they growl and hiss, and they just like float through the trees at you. It is the creepiest shit you've ever seen. I take the spider, and the spider is way worse. Not worse, but those things are creepy. He then continues, best trilogy ever, Godfall, Titanfall, Redfall. What's wrong with Titanfall? I thought Titanfall was a good game. Everybody liked Titanfall, I thought. Did I miss some?
Oh, no, I don't know. The Fall trilogy.
Oh, just the Fall trilogy? That works.
I like that as a as like headcanon. Fall Guys is like the prequel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Godfall and Redfall are pretty bad games. He then continues, Final Fantasy VII is the most overrated piece of crap. Yes, I said it. Sephiroth sucks too. Oh my god, give me a high five, Jason, in the future. My hand is up. If you're not watching this, you just put your hand up and high five me. I'm totally with you. Totally with you. I hate Final Fantasy VII. I just hate it. I hate it so much. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I never really had anything against it, but that's the thing is, like, I have approached Final Fantasy VII mm-hmm. stuff from a different way.
Yes, yeah, the new stuff.
I never played the original.
Right, right.
I jumped in with Dirge of Cerberus with the Advent Children movie and then played Crisis Core. Right. Started to play OG 7 and then my save file corrupted and I just stopped.
That'll
and
do it.
Now I played through the first part of Remake and I haven't done it yet, but I'm basically going to be pre-ordering Rebirth at some point.
Well, and that's fine. I those new games have mechanics that I think look really cool. And I never, like, Final Fantasy VII just had so many, like, things that I hated about it. Like, my biggest problem with Final Fantasy VII, too, is there's so many moments where it's like, oh, this is going to be cool, and then it's not. It just lets you down, that the step right after it, you know, and that's OG. I haven't played the new one, so I can't make that call. He continues, I played Cyberpunk 2077 on Xbox One. It was playable just fine. You're out of your fucking mind. Let's just move on with that. It's just saying that to say that.
Kayla's been jumping back into it a bit, actually.
Well, and it's probably playable now, but he didn't say when he's played it. I mean, that's fine if he's played it, and it's just fine. Great. I mean, it definitely wasn't back in the day. I wish I could play BG3 without worrying about save file deletion. Yes, that is a serious problem. They need to fix that with the Xbox stuff. It is a real bummer, and I'm actually surprised, given how quick Larian has been to fix their stuff, that this is still an ongoing issue.
We're actually still dealing with the split screen issues. They're a bit better than they have been. To be fair, we're just in the Underdark area still, and now we're like just combing through everything. Yeah. So we're on a very slow roll with the game. But every time we want to play, loading in with split screen we have to try like 5 times before the game
really
will actually load up. Yeah.
And that's on PlayStation, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what'll happen is if we load up, like we'll get to the main screen, she'll join, we go to load up, my half of the screen will load up and it'll still play music and stuff, but then after 2 seconds it goes completely silent and sits for a minute. And then it does the PlayStation crash thing. Do you want to send a report? The only way that works that we found that kind of gets us through it is I have to start the game myself solo. And when we have saved before, we are either out in the world or at camp. I have to leave whatever location that I'm currently in and go to the opposite of where we are. So if I'm in the world, go to the camp. If I'm in the camp, go to the world. And then she goes to join in. And after she joins in, if it works, I have to give her control of Karlak. If not, Karlak just stands there. So then she has to send Karlak back to camp. Then she has to go to camp, get Karlak, and come back. That's the only way we can play.
It is very strange.
thing.
I am impressed that you have figured that out, to be honest. But that's really an issue. I mean, obviously the consoles are way well behind the PC repairs because I have played a lot of split screen and never had any issues to that level. I've definitely had issues, but nothing to that level. I had our last Prelude, I actually got Melissa to play BG3 with me for Prelude, and there was a crash in the episode. And then me and Stella have had this problem where suddenly it'll, like, both screens of the split screen will attach to one character.
Yeah, we had that happen before.
But other than that, I've really not experienced the issues that you have talked about, and I definitely have an issue. The save deletion file thing is an Xbox only thing.
That's what I've heard. Yes.
And it's an amazingly long amount of time from them not fixing such a major issue, in my opinion. So I'm surprised by that. I hope that gets fixed because it's definitely a great game to play. Jason then continues, only one of the characters in BG3 interests me for romance. They all interest me for romance. All of them, except for Will. Fuck that guy. I hate that guy. I hate Will. Will's a hypocrite. I want nothing to do with him. Everybody else, though, I want a romance with some character. I think that shit is interesting. Who's your go-to romance in the game? Or are you just avoiding that altogether because you're playing with your wife?
I really don't get into, like, romancing characters.
Oh, that's fair. Games. Philbilly is like that, too.
Yeah, I super don't, like, I don't care about it. Like, I'm glad the inclusion is there.
Yeah,
It's there for,
I get it.
It's there for immersion.
I'm not going to be offended because you don't want to have digital sex in a video game. You don't have to worry about protecting that.
So, we're still in the process of trying to, because apparently, like I'd mentioned before, because Kayla's on her quest with Karlak.
Yeah.
You know, alluded to before. And what we understand, there's somebody in the Underdark, too, that can kind of set you down that same path. But I keep trying to tell her, I was like, I think if you find a way to get, like, a potion of fire resistance or something like that, you can make it happen.
What's happening in her game right now? What she needs to do is she needs to get Infernal Iron. That's that, like, you need to get Infernal Iron and save Infernal Iron. That's what you need. To have sex with Karlak, that's 100% that and a bottle of water. That's all you need. Hmm. Because first you have to take her to the first guy in the first Emerald Grove, and he repairs her heart a little bit to the point where, like, she's not going to explode. And then she comes up with this idea of, like, I'd kiss you if you could find a way to cool me down. And if you just throw water at her and then try to kiss her, you kind of burn yourself. And then you have to find Infernal Iron, and in the second act, if you take it to the same guy from the first act that you gave the Infernal Iron to, he gives it to her to the point where it stabilizes her, kind of, to the point where she can bang, and then you can bang her. Then there's more to the romance, there's, like, levels above that, but, like, that's how you get to bang her. The very beginning of second act, if you've done it right.
I'm sure Kayla will be listening to this episode.
Kayla, message me. I'll give you a through guy, a how to, because Karlak was my one true love in the game, my first game, and I finished that game, and the resolution of that game for me with Karlak was like I had like a single tear rolling down my cheek. For me, little story about fucking in the game, since I figured out that once the second player was removed, like if you made a split screen and then you disconnected, you could basically have two playable characters. That's the only way I've played. And I have a bad guy playthrough right now with a brother and a sister, Dark Dwarf. And they both got sex on the same night. And it was, I call it the Great Night of Fucking. Because basically it was like the same thing. It was like, it went to the guy and it was like, do you want to go to her bed? And it's like, yeah. And then it just cuts the girl and it's like, do you want to go to her bed? And it's like, yeah, okay. And then like, it's just like one scene after the other played because it just assumed that it was two different players. It was great. It was great. I was like, this is awesome. All right, continuing. Finally, Jason finishes off. I was 12 in 1991, started 7th grade. Oh, no. I remember that commercial.
Oh, no.
Yes. Neil continues to alienate all of our viewers by being young.
You make it sound like I'm some young pup. I'm going to be 35 this year.
Some young pup. Just some young, young pup.
I got grays. I'm going for a sleep study. I'm
established in a position. That's hysterical. All right, now I need to find the next episode to do, which was the Horrible Game Awards, right?
Yes.
There are no comments on the Horrible Game Awards, probably because I do want to point out, like I said, I want to point this out on air. There was like 13 people watching the Horrible Game Awards live with me, chatting, because I did a premiere on it. Everybody who did that participated in that, you just made my day. You really did. I can't count the number of times I've done a premiere. Nobody's shown up, so I don't even mind that there's no comments on it, because like that was wonderful to see, to be able to chat with people while the show was on. It was just so nice. So if you are among those people, I appreciate it. Then we must jump in to, we only have one comment on last week's episode, which was our last pre-taped episode, and of course it's William Holand. Hi, wait, maybe we have more than one. We actually have two. Sorry. Hi! Exclamation point. I don't have much to say, apart that I agree with most of your points, so I'll leave it at that. Oh wait, I have a thing. I'm somewhat addicted to the Oregon Trail now. I've been playing that for the last few days and finally made it to Oregon. Woot! Happy New Year's. Cheers. Hashtag 2024. Yeah, I love the Oregon Trail. It is the game that my wife is actually, like, into. I can almost always get her to record that. And Will, I did see that you have a video on it. I'm planning on watching it with the wife. We just haven't had the time yet. But yeah, welcome. Welcome to the Oregon Trail. And then finally, Jason goes, a geist is better than a gake. BG3 humor. So that's it, man. Do you have anything else to add?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you wanted to, we could just do our little chat about games over the holiday.
We could. Let's take a break so that I can cut that correctly, if you don't mind. Or do you just want to chat in the fan interaction about it?
I was going to say, just kid chat in the fan interaction about it, because okay. I don't have a whole heck of a lot. I got a little, but, you know.
Yeah, sure. I got a couple of games. I got some gift cards over Christmas, and... Mm-hmm. I got to spend some of that money on some of the games, some games that I've been wanting for a while, some games that I've been wanting to try for a while. Actually, I already have a review up for one of them, which was Meet Your Maker. I got to get that, because the other thing is too, Steam is so evil, because like I got a bunch of gift cards I put on my account. I'm like, I think I'm gonna save this until the big games come out, and then Steam just puts every fucking thing on sale for the last 2 weeks of the year, and it was just like, oh my god, I can't pass this up for $10. Can't pass this up for $10. But the one I really want to shout out is Sail Forth. It is this indie game, and it's basically Skull and Bones. It's hysterical, because I played it, and I'm like, this is Skull and Bones without a multiplayer component. Oh, funny. It's $14 on Steam. It's actually free right now on Epic. Of course, they made it free right after I purchased it. But basically, you get a boat. You got these little procedurally generated dudes. You get a boat, and you just kind of sail this procedurally generated ocean, discover secrets about it, take out other pirate ships, you know, claim loot, claim ships. There's a boarding mechanic. There's a really good, like, the sailing mechanics, even though it's, like, cute and kind of, like the game itself looks very cute, the sailing mechanics are great in it. Very simple, but still simulatory. I really enjoyed that. You manage all your boats. You can have a fleet of up to, like, 4 boats. It's really cool. I've been very addicted to it, actually. Very addicted to it. And I just want to give it a shout-out, because it's, like, a one-person team. And it's a really cool game.
Solid.
Yeah, birds.
I toyed around with a free thing and did make a purchase of something.
Yeah, I know what you made a purchase of. think you told me
about it. Wait, what?
Divinity, right? You bought Divinity 2?
Oh yeah, I bought that also. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's another thing I bought. Actually, that's one thing I need to do is, like, actually install it on my computer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's one thing that, like, especially after Baldur's Gate, I had made mention about how, like, man, I really want to, you know, play that now. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when you sent me that, I went on to Steam because I have Steam on my phone. And I looked at it and read the description. They changed the description about the game, and they straight up say it's like, this is the game we made before Baldur's Gate. Just leveraging their success with Baldur's
Gate. Leverage the shit out of that.
And I guarantee you by leaps and bounds. By leaps and bounds, it's made a difference, I'm sure. Yeah. But it was like $14. I couldn't pass it up. I played that
quite a bit too.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get into it. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
I think we should try and play it together if we get a chance, because it's got co-op. It's got co-op. And one thing I really noticed in there that I have not played even remotely enough of it to understand, but there is a way for you to make campaigns for other people.
What?
Yeah, like DM, basically, for other people. You remember the games that I have pitched? The asymmetrical games that that's in there, it looks like.
That is awesome. That puts it in another league.
It does. I actually, like, almost bypassed the story entirely just to try that, but I'm like, maybe I should learn the mechanics. I'll say that they have a lot of classes, which is cool. They don't explain a lot of the classes, which is slightly less cool. And then they have less races than I was expecting. There's only like four actual races, and then you can play an undead version of each of the races, which I thought was cool. I think it's the only game I can think of where you could play a fucking Death Knight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. It does have some really weird, cool classes, too. I highly recommend the Metamorph. Highly recommend it. All right. I'm sorry. I cut you off. What was the game that you were talking about?
There's two other things. I did finally play a little bit of that God of War DLC, Valhalla.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to say, I think I know why I kind of avoided the roguelite genre.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's what it is, basically.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's a roguelike mode. But they put, like, it's like a whole story thing. So, like, it expands the story. So, like, it's actually, like, important to the game. You show up, and your first run is intentionally punishing. And I thought I was doing something wrong. you get in, and you basically break into Valhalla. And it starts you through the process, and it's like you start fighting dudes, and your health is just going away the whole time, like just existing. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, is that what this is? Do I get to heal afterwards? No, I don't. Oh, okay. And I'm like, because I know this is a roguelite thing, and I know roguelite things are run-based, so if I die, it's over. And then eventually I die on, like, the second room of the game. And I'm like, okay. And then the game is like, LOL, JK, yeah, you're not supposed to do it like this. Here's how you really do it. And I was like, I mean, I get it, it's a story thing, but I was kind of put off a little bit by that. But the absolute unbridled terror that I'm going to start feeling as I progress further, because it gives you the opportunity to save as you're going through it. But of course, if you die, it doesn't matter. It just wipes your save and you start the whole thing over.
You could reload it if you're not dead.
No. It tells you in there that it's like a self-destructing save.
Okay. Then what's the point of saving?
So if you want to stop in the middle of it to do something else, it's like longer. So you're playing.
So you can like walk away from it and come back.
You can save and stop. But when you come back, you can't load back from that save.
Gotcha.
So when you come back, you have to keep going. It's either you go until you get another save again, or you die, or else you start everything over.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So that's going to fill me with pure anxiety.
Yeah.
And
roguelikes do that. They do do that.
And I did pick up the Sonic Origins collection. And a couple things. One.
We talked at length about how that has done people dirty, if I recall correctly.
Yes, because of the now that I know what they're talking about with the different islands and everything they were talking about with the DLC stuff, it is stupid. All the islands are is just what you want to do. Instead of navigating a menu, you just flip over and go to a different island and there's like little characters jumping around and shit.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, not great there. And it does the port itself is okay. I've got no qualms with the port. That also said, I did not. I kind of did remember, but you're pretty familiar with Sonic games, right?
Yeah,
yeah, very, very familiar. So, in the first Sonic game, the water labyrinth zone, that boss, you can ask Kayla, I died 50 times I was stuck on it for like an hour straight. It is some of those older games are so goddamn punishing.
Yeah.
But, overall the port's fine.
Okay.
Nothing wrong. They don't really change a whole heck of a lot up. You do get a spin dash now in the first Sonic, which does make a difference.
Yeah, that would.
Yeah. But outside of that, it's just my usual me buying these games in yet another place. I've got like 7 copies of all of these games now across all of my different platforms.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. That's fun. What did you guys play out there? What did you guys get over the holiday? Did you get anything new that you liked? Let us know in the comments. We're going to be right back with the newsy bits.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the news. This is where we collect smaller headlines that don't necessarily deserve a talking point. We want to let you know about them. We want to riff about them. We want to tell you about them. It has been 3 weeks since we recorded anything, so Neil has 6 fucking teen. I only have 3 because I took my days off to heart. So I'm going to get mine out of the way. My first one is the biggest bit of lunacy in gaming that I've seen in a while. And look, Star Citizen is no stranger to absolute pricing lunacy. I think that they've calculated that game, that the game's been in beta for what, like 5 years? Yeah, like 5 years now. You cannot play it on Steam. You cannot play it on Epic. You can only play it through Star Citizen on the website. And you buy the ships with your money. All of the stuff is in-game economy. They have released a ship, or they are releasing a ship, in early 2024 that will cost $48,000. That's 30s, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know, you can buy a plane for that much.
A real one.
Like a that. Real plane. You could go out and buy a real plane for $48,000. $48,000. And to make matters worse, the only people who will be eligible to buy this ludicrous ship, that's right, the only people with the privilege to spend the amount of money as a car are people who have already spent $1,000 in the game. You're not allowed to buy it unless you've already spent $1,000 US in-game. I'm going to just go ahead and say this lunacy, right? It's got to be lunacy, right? Yeah. Like, it's crazy. The fact that what blows my mind is the fact that they're releasing this means that they're going to sell it. Like, people are going to buy it. They know their audience enough to know that, like, there's at least a couple people out there who are going to spend a Honda Tucson worth of dollars on a fucking fake ship in a video game, guys. I love video games. I want video games to be taken as art. It's a fake ship in a video game. It is not real.
See, that's the thing with, like, all economies of any type, there's always something that somebody puts for sale at a stupid amount.
Yeah.
On the off chance that there is that one in how many trillions of people on this planet, billions of people, whatever, on this planet, that there is a one in whatever. One in a Googleplex.
Well, and chance. Anybody who thinks Star Citizen isn't an absolute behemoth, you're crazy. They have tons of, like, daily players in that game who are willing to spend a lot of money in that game, you know? So, like, all they have to do is sell, what, two of those? They made their nut for a year, you know?
Yeah, and there's going to be somebody. There's going to be, inevitably, there's going to be somebody who's bought it. Somebody will purchase that ship.
And you want to know what's even crazier? This isn't a free-to-play game. You have to pay fucking $50 for this game.
Stupid.
Like, yeah, like, it's a paid game. It's not a free-to-play game. Man. Okay, so my next one. Continuing with the day before stuff. Which, this is kind of a frustrating one.
Oh, I think you might have one of mine.
I'm sure I do. You have 16. There's just no way.
that's fair.
That I haven't caught at
the
least one of them.
The odds are in the favor.
The day before actually has scalpers now that are selling versions of the game because the game's been delisted. You can't get it anywhere. Yeah. They're selling versions of it for $200. This is almost worse than the $48,000 because at least you're buying a ship and a working game. On this... You're literally buying a copy of a game that doesn't work, that was so bad that it went away. That was a con. You're paying for a con game, $200. It blows my mind that's selling for that much. It's absolutely insane.
That anyone would buy it. I mean, to be fair, there definitely could be an argument to be made for somebody spending like a dollar... Maybe even if they're really like a hardcore collector of like off base,
and some content creators couldn't get to it fast enough. Like there's the Honest trailers, the Honest Game trailers. They actually released an Honest Game trailer for Celeste, and they specifically say in the Honest trailer we were going to do the day before, but they shut it down before we could get a copy.
Right.
So
like, there's definitely I will say there's an argument for preservationists and collectors to say, hey, I have a Steam key for this game that doesn't exist.
Right.
It's the same reason that people try to find specific games out there. Like, I'm weirdly obsessed with trying to find that one Cooking Mama game for PS4 that wasn't supposed to be legally released.
Right.
It's just such a weird story. I want to have a copy of that game.
I get it.
It's kind of the same thing. So, like, yeah, there's an argument
to be made for that. But $200.
Yeah, no, $200, it's not worth $200. It's not worth that to end. Unless it is, like, there's, like, actual official game preservation, like, organizations. Like, if they were to spend $200 on that Steam key to be able to put it in, like, the collection or something, I can see that argument. But some random Joe off the street buying it just to be like, you know, oh, look, I have a copy of this game. That isn't it funny that I own this copy of the game while somebody's laughing all the way to the bank with their $200? It's stupid.
Right. My final one is about Tetris, of all things. And honestly,
oh, you stole that one, too.
Oh, my God. So you still have 14. Shut up. basically, I told you it had to happen. There was no way that mine weren't going to be on there. I'm surprised my first one wasn't on there.
Yeah, no, I didn't have the first one.
This kid named Blue Scotty, it's not his name, but his screen name, beat Tetris. And not just any Tetris, the undefeatable Tetris on NES. They have said many years that like Tetris is unbeatable. Because of its like speed and ferocity and how long it goes. What's interesting is to beat those games aren't made to be beat. They're made to just play until you lose. So to beat a game like that, you literally have to destroy the game. You have to make the game crash. Right. It's kill screen is what it's called. And so you have to play it until the game dies. And you can actually watch this kid do it on YouTube. He's a really young kid. I think he's like, what, like 11 or 12?
13.
Something? 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just doing it, and you watch him win it, and he just loses his goddamn mind. Because nobody, it's been, what, like 50 years since this game came out. Nobody's been able to beat this game. And this one Tetris version, the Nintendo NES Tetris version, has just been unbeatable. And this 13-year-old, who has no real presence on the internet, has verified beat it. What's even more interesting is, like, what I found really cool about reading the article is that it was theorized, like it was talked about, like, scientists, like, we've never discovered the kill screen, but we believe that it could exist around 155. Like, they theorized that it was breakable there, but nobody could get to that level, which to me is, like, hysterical. Like, we could see it. It's like posterizing what a black hole is, you know?
I was about to say, it's astrophysics.
It's like astrophysics. We posterize that the Tetris Nintendo could be beaten at 155 if someone could get to that level. And what's hilarious is this kid missed the first, there was like a chance to get the kill screen at 155. He missed it, and he beat two more levels to 157. And watch this video. I've never seen anybody play Tetris like that. Like, it's just the fucking most crazy shit I've ever seen in my life. But way to go for that kid. Way to go.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, too, there was, like, other little side stories about it. If I remember, he dedicated that win, like, to his father.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was a big fan of Tetris and everything. And I also, like, heard this other side story about it. I guess somebody from the UK, it was either UK, BBC, something like that, like, had interviewed this kid. And after it happened, I guess they were like, okay, so, like, maybe go outside and touch some grass or something. like it wasn't some, like, astronomical feat. Like, okay, I guess I've been sent out here to do this. I'll tell you, as somebody who is a big fan of Tetris, that shit gets fucking hard, yeah,
It gets hard.
It gets hard as shit to the point that I can't even react fast enough.
And the Tetris World Champion was trying to do this, too.
Yeah.
And he was the one who watched and was like, this kid has, like, changed the game or whatever, you know? Like, and I think that's just so cool that it was just some unknown 13-year-old kid who did it. And it's done. That's it. Nobody's ever going to be the first to beat it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, I'm done, man. You got 14. Let's get to it. Let's get to work.
It's a mixture. I'm not – normally I like to save the – for last, but there's so many, I'm just going to go through them.
How many of these are going to depress me at the starting?
Some of them are going to depress you. Some of them are going to depress you. So let's start with the first one, the very first one. There's a company out there called Deck Buttons that is making Steam Deck D-pad replacements that have actual dead bugs in them.
What?
Yeah, so the company straight up said that the bugs were not killed. They died of natural causes and were, quote, collected from windowsills and spider webs. That's actual, no exaggeration, dead bugs mixed in plastic and poured into a mold that a human being can purchase and put into their portable PC gaming console.
No, I don't think I have anything to add to this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what stance to take on this situation.
There's nothing to say. It's weird.
No, it's
weird.
It is. Okay. Like,
if I had a Steam Deck, I definitely wouldn't be putting dead bugs in it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, who wakes up in the morning and goes, you know, this portable PC is fucking cool, but you know what it needs? More dead carcasses. Like,
yeah.
Just bits of real things that used to live.
Things that were once alive and then became food. Let me get that.
Right. Right. I need lives. I need lives to be added to this. I don't know. It's very strange to me. And who would think that? Who would be on the other side and be like, you know what we should make? Dead bug controllers. and nobody else in the room was like, raise a hand. Can we just make normal D-pads? Or is this that out of the question?
This is something that if this story came out on April 1st, I'd be like, oh, it's a funny. It's a ha-ha.
It's
this
a funny ha-ha.
Anyways, and then like, no, but for real. So moving right along.
Yeah, let's go. Let's...
Old buddy pal Bobby K is officially he's officially out at Activision.
Scot-free.
As promised, he's stepped down and is being replaced by Matt Booty. Is now in charge of the Activision Blizzard division of Microsoft.
Good old Matt Booty. We remember his emails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a lot to say about this. I think it is a travesty. The dude's a monster, and he has now officially gotten away scot-free. Everybody was like, get Bobby Kotick out of there. I was like, at least as long as he's in there, he might be like sued or stand trial for something. No, he's free now. He's gone. Nope. Nobody's going to look after him. Nobody's going to go after him. He's wiped his hands of the company. He's free and clear. And yeah, it sucks. And Matt Booty being put in place is hilarious to me because Matt Booty was probably unassailable until all those emails came out in the trial. And we watched him go on and on about how we could just buy his way to success. And then they put him in charge of Activision. Just makes me laugh. Just makes
Pretty
me
par
laugh.
For the course.
I'm going to say this. For the course. 2023 was amazing for gaming, guys. Be happy with it. Because now that Microsoft's in charge, we're going to start seeing the shit go down. Game Pass is going to go up. We're going to get less quality games. They're going to continue their fucking evil empire reign of terror that they've got going on right now. And it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. And I want to point this out. This is coming from an Xbox guy, a former Xbox guy. All right? This is not good for gaming. It just isn't. No matter what side you're on, you know?
No, absolutely not. So moving right along, there was a rumor about the developer of Doom, id Software.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a rumor floating around that they're set to be making a first-person Mandalorian game set to be released in 2024, 2025.
Interesting.
That would be very, very interesting.
Interesting.
I would love the shit out of that.
Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know. I think it would be good. I think it would give them a chance to, because we've said before, you know, I want to see more stuff that's not just Jedi. Like, not just Jedi, not just Sith.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Make your own bounty hunter. Like, own Mandalorian.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And even if it is the Mandalorian, I'm with you. I just, like, it does not make games that I find necessarily appealing right off the bat. I know you were a big Doom guy, and I'm not saying they're bad games by any means, stretch of imagination.
We're a big Doom guy.
What?
One thing I got for Christmas, I got to show
it
off.
Okay, all right, show it off. Digression. We're hitting the digression. What again? Some more nerd stuff coming
up. It is more nerd stuff. I got for Christmas on vinyl.
Oh, the Doom soundtrack. Oh, the soundtrack. That's awesome.
The soundtrack on vinyl.
That's a good soundtrack to have on vinyl.
Yes, it is.
That's cool, man. I'll give you props on that. No, but what I was saying is I don't think they're bad games by any stretch of the imagination. They're not games that interest me. They're not games that I enjoy playing. So it does make, like, is Mandalorian going to be a phonetic, psychotic, like, first-person shooter thing like Doom? Or is it going to be something that's going to, you know, follow the Mandalorian a little bit? Like, what are we looking at here? I'm interested, though. I'm interested. It's just, like I said, I haven't played an id game that I've enjoyed in a very long time, so that keeps me from piquing my interest, you know?
I think it could go by way of the Wolfenstein games.
Yeah, again, played those for like 10 seconds, and we're like, those aren't for me.
Right. Wolfenstein, I feel like, is a bit toned down when it comes, not completely, of course, but a little more toned down than the chaos, frenetic, chill, like you'd mentioned, chaos of the Doom games. I feel like that might be a little bit more of a fit of it.
Yeah, no, I just, like I said, it's just not something I can get super excited about because I don't know that, you know, it's going to be something that's in my wheelhouse, you know. But it is interesting. Right. It is interesting.
So the next big thing that we missed while we were gone The Insomniac ransomware hack.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was massive.
That's a pretty big one.
So basically, Insomniac was hit with a ransomware hack. They were told to pay up, or they were going to start releasing chunks of information on upcoming projects. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Insomniac didn't pay up. So some things we gleaned from that. Apparently, there is a Venom game in development over at Insomniac, as well as planning on a Spider-Verse game featuring multiple spider people and a playable build of the Wolverine game early of it. But a playable build was leaked, so people got their hands on it a little bit. I've not looked at anything with that playable build. Strictly just because it's such early days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not indicative of anything. It's probably just like shitty models in like a mesh 3D space.
Yeah.
Kind of like when Grand Theft Auto 6 leaked. Was it year and a half ago, something like that. Probably going to be along the same vein. So I didn't look too much into that. But the last bit of it, though, is the last I heard. The last bit of information that was set to be leaked was actual employee information, which is no.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fucked up. I mean, ransomware is not good. As far as the games that we've heard from the information, the Venom makes sense as probably what it's going to be. If I had to take a guess, would be like a small discount in between game, and then the Spider-Verse would be the trilogy, you know. Mm-hmm. So like, because if you look at the, you know, the Insomniac Spider-Man came out, then they did Miles Morales, which was the discount kind of in between game that felt like DLC but its own thing, but it was still very successful. Then they did the second one with Miles Morales, and it had a lot of Venom in it. I think it makes a lot of sense to then do a smaller discount game that is the Venom story, kind of where the Miles Morales was, and then have the Spider-Verse one be their trilogy, their third one, you know?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. The Wolverine, I think that they could probably glean some features from the game, from the playable demo, but it's not really like... Like, the gameplay itself is not going to be indicative of the finale of it, you know?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, it is a bummer, too, with employees getting hacked. You know, it's just a bummer, you know, ruining it for everybody.
So, we already referenced it once, but I'll bring it back up here again. Apparently, there is a team trying to work out making a cracked offline version of The Day Before, because reasons.
Why, guys? Why? It was a con perpetrated, you know, by some dirty fuckers to steal our money. Can we just all agree with that and move on? It's not what we wanted it to be. It was a trick. We got tricked. Let's fucking let it die, and maybe the outcry, maybe these people should put their effort to finding justice for the fuckers who stole your money, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm thinking, my thought process as to why this is even a thing, I'm sure that this team thinks that they're going to completely, you know, oh, we're going to make it good, and then we'll release it, and then we'll, you know, go viral because X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm guessing it is. And I think, given the nature of how The Day Before went, I think when they say, hey, we have an offline version that we made actually good, and we put all the stuff into it, people are going to fly all over it, and it's going to be a meme and a viral thing, and it's going to be able to stand on its own legs.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure the developers are going to come back. Oh, no, wait, we own this IP. Oh, and it's going to like turn into like some big massive news story. I'm sure.
Uh-huh. It's ridiculous. I think it's just fucking stupid. I really wish there was more like the one time I would like law enforcement and government to get involved, this is it. Like, these people perpetrated a huge heist. They heisted people's money and have gotten away with it, like, scot-free. What's to keep me from making a game? Like, what's to keep me from making a game, overhyping it on Steam, and taking everybody's money, then shutting down my studio before I give back refunds? You know?
Right.
Nothing. Nothing is. Nothing. It's the problem. Like, where is the outrage on this one? Like, this is way worse than Cyberpunk, because Cyberpunk, as much as I hate them and what they did, they overhyped and they failed to deliver, but they were actually trying to make a game. These people were not. They were literally trying to steal our money. That's what they were doing. And they did it. They successfully did it. They used volunteers, unbeknownst volunteers, to steal our money and run away with it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, where is the... You know, we had all this shit when Cyberpunk came out. People were, like, investigating them. You remember that there was investigations into mm-hmm. Cyberpunk? Or CD Projekt Red after that?
Yep.
Now, this shit happens, and it's like, oh, it's funny. It's funny. It's not funny. They stole our fucking money. Can somebody fucking go get them? Like, Jesus. Like, we had all the investigations before. Can we have investigations when somebody's actually attempting to fucking defraud us? Like, fuck. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is beyond me as to why this stuff, especially at like the smaller level like this, doesn't get as persecuted as, like, you know.
Well, this isn't a small level. End. This was the most wishlisted game on Steam for 3 years running. The most wishlisted game on Steam. That's not small, guys. I know it's a small company, but it's not a small level, you know? The entire world was talking about this game. And now it's just like, they're gone. Like, what?
Oh, darn.
Oh, darn. Drat.
So, next one. Christopher Judge, Kratos voice actor, said he's not going to voice a younger version of Kratos out of respect for Kratos' previous voice actor, T.C. Carson. Interesting. I like that. It's just a nice story because it just makes you feel good. It's like, you know, there's somebody out there who's not like some D-bag sleazeball who sees, like, because I'm sure they would cut him a huge check to voice the younger version of Kratos. Based off of what I know of the Valhalla DLC and, you know, stuff that's popped up because, you know, of course I show interest in it and YouTube wants to like spoil the shit out of everything. younger Kratos shows up somewhere in that progression through the Valhalla DLC. I like that sort of stuff. It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I don't necessarily think, though, I don't necessarily think we should get mad at people who revoice a character that's already voiced. You know what I mean?
And like, that's true, too.
It's one thing, we tend to have this weird... And this is just society as a whole. We tend to have this weird overcompensation. When somebody does something nice, just everybody assumes anything to the opposite is mean. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to get mad at people. Like, if he did decide to voice it, I wouldn't have been upset with him. You know what I mean? But
no.
I get afraid when he does this that then anybody in the future who's like, well, I'm going to be paid to voice this and be like, well, that person voiced it and they're the only person that could ever voice it ever, 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 you know? And that gets me a little nervous, but I think it's a really cool, nice thing that he did. I get so worried about the overcompensation. You know what I mean?
I will say though, there's whenever you recast somebody like that, you immediately draw comparisons.
Yeah.
Cause I know, like myself, in the first Kingdom Hearts, Billy Zane did the voice of Xehanort, and he did an amazing job. Absolutely fantastic job playing Xehanort. But that was the only game that he was in doing the voice. Outside of that, he got recast. I forget the guy's name, Richard something, if I remember correctly. But you immediately draw the comparison of the person who's now doing it. Right. Compared to that same person. In fact, what was it? Leonard Nimoy did old Xehanort, and he died before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. So somebody else did the voice, and it was the same thing. Leonard Nimoy in his gravelly, like, when he spoke, was absolutely amazing. But then this other guy that they came in to have, you know, do it, it was so distracting because it was nowhere near the same, not even remotely close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely see both sides of it. I like him at least, you know, putting the respect out there for it.
Right.
You know, it's
nice. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I wasn't trying to naysay or anything. I just, I think, you also have that guy who, redid Nimoy's voice for the video game, who redid Spock's voice.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it really well. You know, it sounded exactly like Spock. It was like indistinguishable from the original Leonard Nimoy. So, it's tricky. It's a tricky situation. Okay, continue.
So, the next one, this is kind of rooted in some other interesting news that came about with the flip of the calendar this year.
Okay.
Mickey Mouse, specifically Steamboat Willie, is now in public domain.
Yes. I know what you're going to talk about.
It's a weird ass. Well, there's tons, like an actual shitload of Steamboat Willie related media is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this was absolutely anticipated straight up from the jump, because there's multiple projects, movies, games, you know, mm-hmm. announced. But there's one in particular that really made a splash by a company called Nightmare Forge Games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally called Infestation 88.
Yeah. There's some sort of Nazi thing with that.
Yes.
They didn't even realize it. I felt bad for them because I didn't realize it.
Yeah. 88 is like Nazi code. Kind of. So, I thought it was interesting because I didn't realize what had happened. I initially did write this story down whenever the trailer dropped.
Just because it's a Mickey horror.
Yes.
Yeah.
Similar to that Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey that came out. And then I had noticed a couple days later, they had done another trailer, but they changed the name of it. And that's when I did a little bit of digging to find out why it is they changed it.
Did you see their tweet? I felt so bad
for them.
I did
not see the tweet.
Their tweet was like, was something like, "We want to apologize for the insensitive 88 Nazi relation. We want to assure everybody, nobody here at Nightmare Forge is a Nazi supporter, or part of any sort of Nazi organization. We meant 88 because it takes place in 1988. we had no idea that this was going to be, like, nobody knew this. We're very sorry." I felt so bad for them because literally the game itself takes place in 1988. So they were like, Infestation 88. And the 88 is somehow a Nazi thing. And everybody went after them. And they're like, no. It takes place in 1988. I feel bad for them, too, because they could have picked any year, you know?
Yeah.
If they had said 87, they would have been fine. 89, they're fine. But 88, and they're done.
So next one here. Apparently Jack Black and Jason are going to be Minecraft.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. That's gonna be Steve, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gonna be Steve. Honestly, kind of surprised there wasn't a Minecraft movie sooner, truthfully. Yeah. I mean, they're slapping Minecraft on any other game
I hate film. I hate what they're doing. They're gonna kill our game. They're gonna kill our games. They're gonna kill them. It's the same thing they did with comic books, man. Look at what comic books are now compared to what they were, and look at what comic book movies are now compared to what they were. This is where we're just, the ball is now rolling down the hill for video games, because we had a couple of good ones. God, I wish that Mario movie had sucked. And it wasn't the greatest movie ever, but it wasn't bad, and that's all it took. And now it's just going to be every fucking video game thing you can think of coming down the pike, and it is just, oh, man, I'm not liking the future of that at all. I watched this happen once. One of my fandoms already got torn to shreds by the movie industry, is still getting torn to shreds by the movie industry. I don't want this to happen again. I just don't want this to happen again.
Moving along. The French government is fining Sony because of their anti-competitive actions with PlayStation 4 controllers.
Really?
So, basically, PlayStation 4s used software to restrict third-party controller use on the console. Now, does this sound relatively familiar to something that Microsoft has recently started doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is it's one of those things to where, you know, the companies are getting the wrist slap because they think they've got, you know, a little bit of bass in their chest and they think that they've got some momentum to push through some stuff. And then the governments are like, no, no, this is too much. And it'll push them back a little bit. I mean, I'm sure, you know, the fines they're going to get is something like, ooh, $100,000 or something like that, you know.
Yeah, I spent $100,000 with my cup of coffee, bitches. Yeah, they're not gonna. It's not gonna be a big deal. It's not gonna be a big deal. I mean, I think after last year, we can all write off the government as being able to do anything about the video game industry as a whole. Like, no government stepped up to stop anybody except possibly the British one for like, what, 20 minutes,
yeah,
in world time, and that ended up going through. I think we're at a point where like we're really on our own as consumers in the video game industry. The government's not going to help us, you know.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 apparently are coming to Game Pass.
Yes, I heard about that.
I have them on my phone. And I have attempted to play very briefly, and it is so confusing for me on the phone using touchscreen with my giant sausage thumbs. I have attempted to not. So
why don't you use your controller? Or are they not optimized for that?
Well, I haven't even tried, truthfully. I haven't even tried with that. I haven't tried to use the Kishi in a while, strictly because my long story short, Spectrum keeps jerking me around even.
I gotcha.
So not fun times. We already talked about that. Speaking of Baldur's Gate, people's keep giving Asterion a gun in Baldur's Gate 3.
The modders. I keep giving him a gun.
What is absolutely interesting about this is it's the gun can be used by anybody, but the primary source of all of the memes and everything are all Asterion.
Yeah.
Which
of all the characters to give a gun? He is not the one. He's not the one, guys. He's not the one. If he's the only character in the medieval world that has a gun, we're in trouble. We're in real trouble, okay?
So, in keeping with the trend of game console themed appliances, there is now an Xbox Series S toaster to go along with your Series X mini fridge. Yes. It'll toast the little Xbox logo onto your toast.
You know, can I just say, if you're one of these people buying fucking appliances that look like video game consoles, I want you to just sit down on your couch, take a second, no TV, no screen. Just really think about your life and what's led you to this point. And if this is the person, if you're being your best self right now, okay? And if you say yes, more power to you. But I think if you really think about it and think about the fact that you bought a Series S toaster, you're gonna rethink some things. Rethink some choices and some priorities in your life.
Well,
I mean, how much does this fucking thing cost? Probably like $7,000.
I didn't see that. Well, that's the thing. Did I tell you the story about how I tried to buy the Series X mini fridge?
I'm sure you did.
I mean, basically, it was on clearance over at Best Buy. So I purchased it and took it home and had it for approximately 2 hours and returned it because it was defective. It didn't even turn on. So very, very on par mini fridge getting a blue screen, basically. But yeah, I took it back. I took it back to Best Buy and I was like, yeah, I just want to return this. And the guy behind the counter is like, oh, well, why do you want to return it? And I was like, yeah, it just didn't work. I tried plugging into different outlets. It even had like a car cord too, so you could try to do it in the vehicle. And I like tried it in the vehicle and it didn't work there either. So I was like, yeah, it just doesn't work. And he was like, man, I just saw one of those for the first time the other day and I thought it looked so cool. And I'm just like, but it doesn't.
It doesn't work. Well, here, you can have this one. Give me my money back.
Give me my money back, and this is yours. Because, I mean, I was going to throw it in the trash. So, yeah.
It's funny.
Speaking of funny.
Okay.
So like Steam funny. Steam does an annual award presentation.
Yes, they do.
Every year. That relies solely on Steam user votes.
Yes, they do. I appreciate that.
And yeah, well, being that it's the internet, people have taken the opportunity to use that to troll.
Oh no!
Have you seen the results of the
Steam Awards
this year?
I did see the results.
Did you see that Red Dead Redemption 2 won the Labor of Love Award?
Yes, I did.
For quote, continuing to nurture and support the game with new content.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. It's amazing.
And that Starfield won the most innovative gameplay award.
I did notice that. All the other ones seemed pretty fair. But yeah, the Red Dead Redemption one, that one jumped out at me. I was like, really? Labor of love for that? Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, of course Microsoft wasn't in on the joke because they immediately took to Twitter to be like, oh my God, thank you so much, Steam. Most innovative gameplay.
It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, when that's the only one that your game fucking wins, basically. I mean, I guess.
I love it when companies don't get it. Like, I love it when big companies who constantly pretend like they're cool. That's what Microsoft's like. Entire platform is like, hey man, we're cool, we're just like you, we're cool, we definitely don't own yachts, we're cool. And then they don't get it, like they don't get the joke that they're supposed to be cool and get, and like, oh, thank you so much for the innovation award, dude, it was sarcastic, your game sucks.
So speaking of game sucking.
Yeah, okay.
The final one that I have. There is a TikToker named Everywhere Nowhere.
Okay.
And this individual is intentionally trying to make the worst game ever. It's called Monster Sniper Season 3. And it's intentionally filled with just bad choices. There's a list. I have to pull it up here real quick just to go over the list. Just to go over some stuff, the control scheme involves moving the character with the mouse and aiming with the keyboard. There's a loud, out of tune flute music that goes loops every 20 seconds and cannot be turned down unless you buy a specific upgrade in the game.
Looping flute music.
The vast majority of the upgrades in the game in order to reload a rocket launcher, you have to charge it by pressing the reload button 150 times. And it breaks if you go too fast. To switch over to a boomerang weapon, you have to solve math problems. You can only save a total of 5 times in the game. And once you've used them, you cannot save your game anymore.
This is priceless. And you know, this is going to be one of the most popular games that is ever... Like, streamers are going to jump on this thing.
Oh,
like, nobody's 100%. Business.
100%. This is 10,000% meant for this.
And it's more power to them, man. They're going to make a lot of money on a lot of crap.
And that's the thing. That is the world that we live in now. Yeah. When the intentional, blatant joke slash one may even say, let's say this guy is doing a higher mind thing and and like doing a commentary on gaming nowadays. Right. I would respect that if he was like, yeah, this is what it is. Right. But he's not. It's just some random TikToker who's like, well, I can follow, buy my game. It's going to be great. Yeah, he's going to definitely... be relying on the streamer stuff.
I will go ahead and put out there, I would probably still rather play that than Redfall. So there you go. There you go.
You know what I said to Kayla the other day? And what? I'm sure you're going to cringe. I kind of miss it just a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But that
I miss that there... I miss the jokes. I felt like
yeah.
its terribleness prompted the three of us to do some of our best comedy that we've done on show, personally, in my opinion. Oh, yeah. I thought that the commentary from an entertainment level was hysterical. Watching or playing that game was like hitting myself in the finger with a hammer. Like, it was just awful. So, like, on the level of, like, we were really funny and I laughed really hard during it, yeah, I can kind of miss that. But we're going to get that experience from good games in the future. So, like, I don't miss playing that game, that's for sure. I just don't. We got to figure out what we're going to play next.
It definitely was not the game itself. It was the stupid shit around it.
We got to figure out what we're playing next because fuck Party Animals. Pissed me off, man.
Yeah, that was weird.
Pissed me off.
I definitely enjoyed, though, that TMNT game.
Yeah, that was really fun. That was really fun with all of us. And then Jason jumped in. Jason, yeah, thanks for jumping in. That was really cool. Stella had a really good time.
Too good of a tape.
I know. I had to go up. Like, I had to just go up at one point. My character stopped moving because I went upstairs and I was like, Stella, you need to watch your mouth. But what's funny is since then, like, everything we've played together, she's like, would Neil and Kayla want to play this with us? like it's funny because there's a game we've been playing called Stumble Guys, which is the knockoff version of Fall Guys on Steam. Mm-hmm. It's free to play, and I'm going to say this, probably going to get hate for it. I think it's better than Fall Guys. Ooh. It's more fun to me. Because Fall Guys, you know how you have that grabbing mechanic? Have you ever played Fall Guys? I don't know if you have.
No, I basically know.
Mechanic in it? Like, you're running forward, you're jumping, you've got the jump, then you've got the double jump into the dive, you're trying to avoid obstacles, you're trying to race. But there's also a grabbing aspect, like you can grab things. Right?
Yeah.
But you can also grab other players. So you get these, like, real fucking trolls, like, and stuff like that, which is to be expected with grabbing, where just everybody's grabbing each other and trying to drag each other off the cliff and stuff. Stumble Guys has no grab mechanic, and the level design is much more thematically. Like, there's a level where it's a water slide, and you have to navigate the water slide. Just for me, I'm like, this is better. Because I don't have to worry about the grabbing. I can just race. And it's more about navigating the level aspects than it is, like, an obstacle course where you're just trying to grab stuff. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I actually kind of like it better. But we were playing it today, and she's like, we should do this with Neil and Kayla. I'm like, it is not on console. And she's like, who plays on console? I was like, Kayla. Kayla plays on console, hun. She does not play on PC.
I do have to say, though, I was talking to Kayla about it. I don't know how soon it's going to happen, but I did price out a mid-tier baby build to use as a console upstairs.
Oh.
It clocks in. It's a micro build, and it clocks in somewhere around $1,000. I just don't
That's
know.
Not bad. That's usually what we build. Your PC will probably be pretty comparable to what me, Stella, and Philip built, because that's honestly what, because Stella's was probably around, I want to say it was around like 900, 1,000, and her PC will handle just about any game coming out. We're still on the show. Why are we doing this? All right, guys, we're gonna take a break. We're rusty. We're gonna take a break. We'll come back with plugs, and then we're gonna go to sleep.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything?
Yeah, so we did finish up Redfall Down, as sad as it may kind of make me. but yeah, that is finally officially in the books. In fact, when we did our other thing that I'm going to plug here, the live stream that we did with Stella playing the Shredder's Revenge game, which was a blast.
It was nice.
Kayla boasted about how she got to uninstall the game Redfall from the Xbox console.
It's I did it before the episode had ended.
It's it's still sitting on my PC right there at the front.
I don't know why. That's what, 100 gigs? You need to get that back.
It's just laziness. but yeah, we that and I will say that last stream, we kind of talked about it a little bit before, but it was fun. I had not played that game. Stella was a hoot.
Yes, that
as,
was fun.
As much to your chagrin
as it may have been. Sometimes she can be a little ridiculous. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. We will do more streams in the future. We're also probably going to do more series in the future. The last of three are by no means done. I also want to point out that at some point in this year, Neil and Kayla are going to be getting into the TTRPG side. More than just the one shot they did before with Ordo Sanctorum. We're working on it. It'll be done at some point, and we'll get it going. For me, big week for streaming, especially for TTRPGs. I have been doing War Tales on Tuesday mornings. It's been a lot of fun to do War Tales. I really like that game. I like that procedural generated aspect of it. But we're also doing Astral Drive's returning, NTMNT Stump Gang is returning, these two, Wednesday and Thursday. So if you like TTRPGs, this is a week for TTRPGs, guys. As far as gaming, everything else is going strong. We do have Prelude to Divorce has returned. We're playing Baldur's Gate 3, if you could believe I got my wife to play that. And it is very fun to watch her not have fun. And then I also want to punch out there Stella's Roblox review, our first made-for-kids show. That is where I and Stella play Roblox. She picks a game from the Roblox library, and it's every Saturday. It's about 15 to 20 minutes, sometimes a little bit longer, sometimes a little bit less. And she picks a game. We talk about the game. We play the game. It's a nice short listen to, and no sweary words. If there's sweary words, we don't put the episode up. So yeah, that's fun. That's every Saturday right now. I think that's it. I think that's it for the plugs. Welcome back to 2024. We're still doing
Welcome
this.
Welcome back to 2024.
We're back again. We're back again. Hey, Neil, shut the fuck up.
Start the year off right.
Right. We will be, we're doing this for another sixth year. Who knows when this is going to stop, but not right now. So we will be back next week. You guys can reach us on Facebook at OmegaMDH, on Twitter at OmegaMDH9. You can join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influence this and all of our shows from there. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as long as you keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. Pause. I completely forgot we were recording. We just started chit-chatting there. It was ridiculous.
So I did want to tell you a fun, interesting story quick. And there's a visual aid to this. I don't know as if this can be a part of the show, unfortunately.
That's fine.
But I indulged in the marijuanas for the first time.
Oh my god. Dude, this is really weird. This is really weird that you're saying that.
Why?
Because me and my wife have just recently ordered some gummies.
Okay.
And I've never done marijuana either.
Have you done yet? Or no?
No, we haven't. But it's just weird that you just did it and for the first time, and I'm thinking about doing it for the first time.
So
what did you do? Did you do the smoky?
No. We're purely right now, we're just doing edible stuff.
How was it?
It was interesting. So we got these. They're like little pet. They look like little Pez candies.
Okay.
First and foremost, they taste god awful.
Okay.
They're like candy flavored for like 0.2 seconds. And you're just going to taste it for like hours on end. So just because I had never done anything before, I was like, I'm going to start baby steps, tiny, super small. It's 5 milligram. So Christmas Eve, I ended up taking that, and so did Kayla. And let me see if I can. I got to pull the picture up here. So this picture here that I just sent you is the 5 milligrams on Christmas Eve.
Where'd you send it? Oh, I see it.
that was just my my first foray. It felt like I was like
and
okay,
Kayla's asleep.
She's stripping, like so the next day.
This is
the creepiest
picture too, because you are like it looks like you're a stalker in this picture because she's asleep behind you and you're taking a smiling selfie like, ah, I made it into the house, you know. Like,
so. You know, Christmas Day, we do all of our running around and everything, and we managed to trim our traveling down a whole hell of a lot this year, which was great. So it was about 4 o'clock and we were about to head home, and I was like, you know what? Just because I was off the next day too, I was like, let's get a little nuts. So I ended up, we did 15 milligrams down at that point.
Oh, I get another picture? Do I get another picture? Am I going to get a picture every time you do weed now? Is this like
this
a thing?
This was the result of that.
Holy shit. Yes. This is going to be so hard not to put in the podcast.
Oh my God.
You've already said no. It's so hard to not edit these pictures into the podcast because they are comedy gold.
It's comedy gold.
Oh man, so, that's great.
So, well, I mean, you know what? Nobody in my fucking family listens to this shit, really. So, yeah, go ahead. It's legal. It's
I'm
legal
sure it's
going to
come up on the next lasso, personally. It's, there's no way Kayla's not going to bring it up and I'm not going to say something.
So, I will tell you, if for your first time, you and I are about the same build.
Yeah,
I
would maybe, I'm probably a little bit heavier, I think.
I would recommend maybe 10.
10. Okay.
10 milligrams for
well,
your first time.
Melissa has like a friend, and in case I do put this in, I'm not going to say her name, that just does pot all the time. Yeah. And she's high functioning. Like, you'd never know she's a stoner, but she's like really into weed. And like, Melissa asked her about it, and she's like, you're going to want to cut it in thirds because you guys have never done it before. Like,
yeah. That's the thing. Everybody is different with it from what I understand, because like, I was thinking 5 milligrams. I was going to be just like rolling around, like licking the carpet or something like that. It definitely wasn't the case. So like that there, that was the result of, for some reason, I just started, we were watching Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
I can't think and of I a just, better movie for you to be just high on weed watching.
I just started like laughing hysterically, and she was like, why are you laughing? I'm like, I don't fucking know. And I just like kept laughing because I was laughing. And then that golden picture was taken.
My biggest concern is I am a very anxious, paranoid person. And in the last 20 plus years of my life, I have been able to manage it to a point where I'm still anxious and paranoid about everything. I just am really good about not showing it to people. I'm very afraid that I'm going to take pot and I'm going to be basically next to Melissa just being like, do you like me? Bad. Do you love me? What's happening? What's going on? Like that kind
that
of
was,
stuff.
That was a concern that I had too. Yeah. And like I said, everybody is different, but for me, like it, the 5 milligrams just kind of loosened. It was like maybe having a buzz with a drink a little bit, but nothing crazy. Mm. The 15 milligrams, I still swear to God, Kayla doesn't believe me. I woke up the next day and I'm like 99% sure that I was still had some residual something with it, because I'm out there trying to buy Christmas decorations on clearance, and I'm just like standing there in the Christmas decoration aisle just to trying to figure out like, am I still buzzed? It's just like everybody's just buying shit around me and I'm just having a mini crisis. And then we did on New Year's Eve, we had this I forget what it's called. It's THC infused drink. So it looks like liquor, but it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's extremely dangerous because you take a shot of it. The shot has, I think it was 6 milligrams.
Oh, wow.
You take a shot of it and you're expecting, like, you look at it and you're holding it in your hand and you're expecting, like, if you do a shot, like the whole body recoil that you do, there's not at all. It doesn't have that alcohol.
So you can just
burn.
Chug that shit.
You can just slam it.
Can't see anymore. Yeah.
So yeah, we all got a little bit blitzed and played Mario Party on New Year's Eve. So now Kayla and I actually I have to see who all was serious about it. In Warren over here, they're going to be doing in February a hydroponics class.
Okay.
So I'm seriously considering
growing your own,
like actually growing. Yeah. So yeah, I will be very interested to see how your experience plays out.
I don't know when it's going to happen. I will talk about it. If I can put this on the show, I will talk about it when it happens and put it on the show. So
Go ahead and do it. I changed my mind. You can do it. It's legal. It's legal. I'm a big kid.
It's legal. Yeah, I must say, I'm 42. That's one of the things I was thinking about is I'm like, I'm 42. Why the fuck do I even care anymore at this point?
Right.
I'm a 42-year-old fat guy. Let's just get this done. All right. All right, let's do plugs.